were worshiping, I heard the Lord say very clearly that He's coming to lift off of people's lives today a spirit of heaviness, depression, discouragement, hopelessness has no place in our lives because Jesus is our hope. He is our joy, and we have been set free to worship, set free to live life large, to live it big, and to be filled with joy. Father, right now, we rejoice and we celebrate what Jesus has done for us in setting us free. And Lord, we come against the spirit of heaviness. We make no allowance, no agreement with the spirit of depression, discouragement, or hopelessness. Break it now in Jesus' name. Lord, let every heart be free in your presence, Lord, today. We shatter, Lord, the lies of the enemy. We pull down, Lord, every stronghold, every lie. And Lord, I speak to even our physical bodies. Maybe our body is going through something hormonal or whatever it is that would cause depression. But I speak to that right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you for joy and peace. That sweet release, there it is right there. Just God's sweet peace and release touching us and setting us free. Everyone say, in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your joy. Lord, as we come to the, yes, as we come to the Thanksgiving season, we are so grateful, Lord. We count our blessings. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you now as we go into the Word. You open up the storehouse, the treasures of your Word, to give us exactly what we need from you, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit move through the Scriptures, through the preaching, Lord. Let there be revelation and freedom. Father, we also pray for our state. It's in a crisis right now. Just right here from this house of prayer, we're sending out prayers, Lord, to the north, up there in paradise, Lord, where people have lost so much, and down in Southern California, where there's been now 1,400 people still missing, 76 lives lost, so many homes, so much brokenness, so much pain. Lord, we call for a strong storm cloud. Lord, even sooner than the weather people are saying, Lord, we need it now. We invite, Lord, the rain into California. We invite the refreshing rain, the thunderclap of heaven, Lord. Break out over our state, Lord. Turn that fire, Lord, into a... And Lord, let it even be a sign. Let it even be a sign of your refreshing in our lives, Lord. And the beginning of a new season and all that you would do, Lord. We ask you to heal the broken, those that have lost so much, Lord, the hurting, they need you, Lord. And I pray that the eyes of every man, woman, and child in California would not be on politicians, would not be on automobiles or homes or expense accounts, but let our eyes be on you, Lord. You are the only one. You are the only one that can satisfy. So, Lord, from the top of our state all the way down to the bottom, let revival and transformation and blessing and the goodness of your people just rise up, Lord. People loving each other, sharing what they have and getting through the hard times together. We trust you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's tell the worship team we love them and appreciate them. Amen. Well, we had a wonderful trip to Israel, Kathy and I, and 43 Gateway folks. We had just a wonderful time. Then we came back and all this smoke. I mean, it's crazy. And my voice was already kind of, I don't know, something. I got a little laryngitis, so if I sound a little funny. but this smoke isn't helping it. That's why I'm believing for the rain to come. Amen. It's great to be back home. There's no place like home, and good reports of God doing things. You know, yesterday there was we served 80 homeless people right here in the campus, and four people came to Christ. There was meals, there was music. And Pastor Carol, thank you for your leadership with all that Gateway Community Outreach. And this week is it hundreds of meals going out, 200 meals going out to needy families. That's wonderful. Come on. Praise God. At the end of the service, have an opportunity to pray together and believe God. Our prayer teams will come. If you need healing prayer, just somebody to talk to, there's going to be people across the front. It's very important that you not bear, you know, whatever you're bearing, don't bear that by yourself. You know, connect with a friend today. Also, at the end of the service, we're going to have an opportunity, as Jordan was mentioning, about the about our offering right now, which is our Beyond offering. I know many of you, like me, you just hadn't filled out your card yet. But today, Kathy and I had the talk, and we talked about the amount. The longer I was waiting, the larger the number was getting, you know, on that. So I said, we got to nail this down before it gets, you know, way out of range. But we're increasing what we want to do. And what we're going to do takes faith. But, you know, God has a way of giving back and giving back. And I really believe in outreach. I really believe in this method that God is giving us. We're birthing a brand new ministry called Reach. And that's going to be something that will help all of our campuses to reach out into cities. Something very important. At the end of the service, we'll pray over the cards. Remember, as you're giving, there's a little spot there on your pledge card. Either you can give everything now or you can give it over the next 6 months. But let us know today what you're doing. And there on the prayer request section, I wrote down on my card, family, ministry, and personal multiplication. And I want to pray that over us at the end of the service, that God will multiply. You know, you can go from addition into multiplication, and it's just a whole nother level where things just take on. We bring our 5 loaves and our 2 fishes. It seems so small. And then Jesus touches it, and it starts to grow and multiply. How many would like to see your life multiplying and increasing that way? So let's focus our prayers together. Let's get this done, and let's rejoice in our Thanksgiving. And if I forget to tell you, Happy Thanksgiving. Kathy and I love you very much. We pray that you will be blessed during this special season with family and friends. All right, are you ready for the Word of God? Let's grab a teaching outline. Pastor Jordan began the series last week called More Than Enough. We're going to continue on that. I just want to remind you of some encouraging great news that God has more than enough for your need. We're going to get into the scripture. The Bible is our guidebook. It's our North Star. It's our compass that points us in the right direction. And it shares with us that God really does care, that He really will provide for us, that He will take care of us. Psalm 37, verses 18 and 19. Let's start right there. It says, day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. How many have ever been through hard times? The Bible says that you will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have, say it with me, more than enough. I was 16. I moved out of my home with my family up in the East Bay, and the church was down here. Everything to me was God's house. I wanted to be down here. A friend and I started a painting business, a house painting business for the summer. And you know, we did good, but there were times when we weren't paid. It was a long time between the end of a project to the next one. And at one point, I can remember, I had a 1966 beautiful baby blue Buick LeSabre. And it got 4 miles to the gallon. I think maybe 5 miles to the gallon. And I was running low on cash. I was in a famine time. And it was in between getting paid for jobs. I had $5 to my name. And I didn't know when the next job was going to pay. But I had to get to church. We had, I forget it was a prayer meeting or choir practice or something. I had worked all day, gone home, taken a shower, got myself all pretty, smelling good, ready to go to church. And I looked at the needle there, and it was down to about probably an eighth of a tank, and I had $5 to my name. And for some reason, I decided, well, I got to get gas because I won't make it back if I don't get gas. And for some reason, that was back in the days when you had a choice between self-serve and full serve. Now, if you don't know what full serve is, it costs more, but boy, is it nice. Now, up in Oregon, even to this day, you go up into Oregon, they don't have any self-serve. Everything is full serve. It's really nice. Well, but if you're down to your last $5, you probably don't want to go to full serve because you could save like 10 cents a gallon and get a little bit more gas for your money. But for some reason, I was feeling pretty, smelling good, and I didn't want to smell like gas. And I pulled into the full serve lane, and the guy came up, and I said, $5. $5 of regular. Fine. He put the deal in, and I don't know if the phone rang or something. He got distracted. And I thought, boy, it's been a long time since he was here. I turned around, and that thing was at $10 and $12, and I'm beeping the horn, you know. And it got up to $20, which in those days filled my gas tank. And the guy ran out. He was sweating profusely. I said, I told you $5. And he said, I know, that's all I'm going to charge you. Don't worry about it. And for $5, God filled my tank. Talk about more than enough. Everybody say more than enough. And I'm telling you that funny little story because I know that you've had those stories as well. Of God's supernatural, just when you need it, more than enough provision. Let's read some more verses. Psalm 23. One of the most famous scriptures in the world. The Passion Translation has it this way. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Proverbs 13:25. The lovers of God will have more than enough, but the wicked will always lack what they crave. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all that you need for yourselves and more than enough for what? Every good cause. I think this is a good cause. I think preaching the gospel, sharing, I think building strong churches that are centered on Jesus Christ and preaching the good news, that's a good cause. And when you connect with that, you're going to have more than enough. You say, well, that's great. You're having lots of, you know, offerings, and you're reaching out, and you're doing outreach churches, and feeding the homeless, and caring for people. That's great, but you have no idea the pain I'm in today. You have no idea the raging addiction that I'm battling with, the sin that controls me. I mean, that's nice that the church is raising funds to reach people, but I've got problems in my life. You have no idea. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because I've had those problems, and I have found this promise for you and for each of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. God told Paul the apostle when he was in a desperate place, he said, my grace is always more than enough for you. I want you to understand today, if you're battling with shame, guilt, you feel wrecked on the inside because you've let yourself down, you've let God down, I want you to know God's grace is more than enough for you. That you're not going to squeak barely into heaven. When Jesus died for you, he died for all of your sins, past, present, and future. And not only your sins, but for all the sins of the whole world. And that his death on the cross was more than enough to save you and set you free. Isn't that good news? And so you'll need that grace. You'll need that grace in hard times. You'll need that grace when you're going through rough times. You'll need that grace when the enemy is screaming at you about what a failure you are and what a terrible person you are and how unworthy you are. You just stand on the more than enough grace of God. Hallelujah. because his love for you is so great, and his death, burial, and resurrection, the cross, finished it all. When he bowed his head and said, "It is finished," I mean, it is finished. And you are the recipient of God's grace, and it is more than enough. Can I have a great hallelujah here this morning? I'm declaring a right view of God to you. I'm declaring against what the enemy is speaking into your life. The enemy says you're not enough. The enemy says God isn't enough. The enemy says you're not going to make it. The enemy says you're going to fall short. It's not going to work. And God is saying again and again and again, I am more than enough. For every sin, every need, every sorrow, every circumstance, my grace is more than enough. Hallelujah. So I declare that to you, that God is more than enough, and he will bless you with more than enough. But is there a part that we play? In other words, that's a great promise to know that God is more than enough and he will take care of us. But is there a fine print anywhere? Well, of course, there always, in every promise, there is a premise. Every promise of God is a conditional. You say, well, what about grace? And I'm saved by grace. There's no cost, right? But yes, you are saved by grace, but you had to believe and you have to receive. That's your part. You're not saved by your works. You don't get ahead by doing deeds of righteousness. We could never do enough to merit God's grace or his salvation. But each of us has a part to play in God's awesome plan. Sometimes it's just simply believing and receiving. Every promise has a premise. It has an if clause. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then. So there's always if, and there's always the fulfillment of the promise. So I think when it comes to our finances, let's talk about our money. Let's talk about having enough in life. When it comes to our finances and having more than enough, I think there are a couple of things we should know. First of all, as Pastor Jordan's message declared last week about a generous heart, having a generous heart, I think that's a huge key in life, a huge key to having more than enough. You know, people that withhold, they hold back, they're tight, they're chintzy, and then expect more than enough, it doesn't equate. The liberal soul will be blessed, the Bible says. So having a generous attitude, a generous heart is important. I think having a good financial plan, having maybe a budget, being smart, being wise with your money. How many of you think that's helpful when it comes to being more than enough? You can't just stand, you know, you can't just ignore your bills and never balance your checkbook and never do the right thing with your money and then come to church and say, I claim it, I claim it, I claim it. I receive it, I receive it, I receive it. That's not going to be enough for you. God has called you to be a wise steward. So that's a part of the conversation. But here's another piece, and I want to talk today about becoming a scriptural tither. I want to talk about the blessings that you will receive as you commit and understand the principle of scriptural tithing, because scriptural tithing, there are promises that God will bring you more than enough when you honor the Lord by bringing your tithe to the house of the Lord. We experience more than enough when we become scriptural tithers. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3, Malachi 3 verses 6 through 12. Let me read to you the word of God. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. See, there's the promise and the premise. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In what? Say it with me. tithes and offerings. Yeah. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Test me, put me to the test. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven. Wow, is that a phrase that I want to... If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room to receive it. And it goes on. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you what? Blessed. How many think blessing is real? I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's real. When you're blessed, when you're walking in blessing, that is real. And when you lack blessing in your life, I mean, it is such a stark contrast, a blessed life. He said, all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Now, you have to be kind of brave to talk about tithing. Because when you talk about tithing, people get stiff. They get jumpy. And they might question, you know, why leader of a church, why a shepherd would teach on this. Oh, I know what he's up to. He's trying to get my money. And money's a part of it. But do you know, I want to just open my heart to you just for a minute. If I believe there really is a devourer, if I believe God's word that there is a devourer, what kind of a pastor am I if I don't show you how to overcome the devourer? How helpful and how useful am I as a leader? And if I believe that there actually is something called the windows of heaven, if that's real, let's say that's real, and I believe that, because I do, but I don't talk to you about how to get the windows of heaven open over your life, what good am I as a spiritual leader? There are some pastors that will not go there, but today, baby, today, honey, we're going there. Because the windows of heaven, it's a real thing. The blessings of God are real, and the devourer is real. And so I want to talk to us just about this simple truth of tithing, answer a few basic questions on tithing, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to go eat turkey this week, all right? Does that sound good? Thank you for your enthusiasm, all three of you. I appreciate that. It's remarkable. I feel so encouraged. I feel so... You see, I'm talking about tithing. No, I ain't going to say amen. Are you talking about tithing? Forget it. Talk about heaven, I'll give you an amen. What is tithing? Tithing is the practice that has gone on for thousands of years. The great people of faith from Abraham forward. The practice of bringing one-tenth. The word tithe means tenth. The practice of bringing one-tenth to the house of the Lord. It is an amount. It's not a fictitious number. It's not a makeup number. It's a tenth. You could almost call this message the sermon on the amount. You could almost. Because there's an amount, all right? And it's... It comes to the house of the Lord. Some people say, well, I tithe, but I give it to the Red Cross, and I give it to my brother-in-law. He's out of work, and I give it to 700 Club. I appreciate, there are two television, I'm not crazy about a lot of television ministries. I'm grateful for what they're doing, but sometimes they get a little manipulative on the money thing. But there's a couple that I really appreciate. Joyce Myers and Joseph Prince both say at the end of their broadcast, do not send us your tithe. Your tithe goes to your local church. And I say, thank you. That is because it's true. The tithe belongs to the local church. And then we can give our offering to our brother-in-law, the Red Cross and Fire Relief and all those other things. But the tithe belongs to the Lord. And I want to illustrate this with a story that I sometimes share when I'm teaching on tithing called Who Owns Your French Fries? Now, if you looked at the top of your teaching outline, you might have thought, what is he going to talk about today? God wants one of my French fries. So what is this all about? Well, it began with a story of a father who purchased some French fries for his four-year-old boy, and then, like any good father would do, reached over and said, can I have one of these fries? And that is the test, isn't it? That's the test of the four-year-old in all of us, saying, Father in heaven, you have blessed me with so many things, but you're asking something back. And it goes like this, I, the Lord your God, I, your heavenly Father, want one of the French fries that I have given to you. And that's where all the stuff starts working on the inside of us, the chintzy stuff, the smiling on the outside. Oh, of course, Father in heaven, yes. But on the inside, it's going, I really don't want to give that. I need it. I need every fry. I need every single fry. I need that. And that to me, it's like God doesn't need your fry, but he needs you to be okay with him claiming one of your fries, which he gave you to begin with. How many understand? This to me, this is a clear picture of tithing. Well, when did tithing begin? As I mentioned, it began with Abraham. Some people want to fight with me on tithing. Look, if you don't believe in tithing, that's fine. It's okay. You believe whatever you believe. But please don't come to me and tell me tithing is a part of the law, because it's not. Tithing was 450 years before the law. Abraham was a tither. Isaac was a tither. Jacob was a tither long before Moses ever gave the law, long before the scripture was ever written. Tithing is not about the law. Tithing is about the heart. Tithing is about our worship. It's not a matter of the law. It's a matter of the heart. Deuteronomy 14:23 says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God's first in your life. We say, I give my tithe. That's like saying, that's my French fry. But truly, let's understand this. It's actually not your French fry, because the tithe belongs to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30 says, a tithe of everything, can you see that? What does it say? Belongs to who? The Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So you say, well, I'll give my tithe. I'm in a good mood. My account is full. I'll give my tithe to the Lord. It'd be like if I borrow your car, all right, I need a car and you're kind and you say, all right, take my car. I have an extra. You can take my car. And I'm driving your car and I'm enjoying your car. And then a couple of weeks later, I say, you know what? I'm feeling generous today. I'm going to give you my car. You'd say, what? That's not your car. That's my car. You can't give me my car. I gave it to you to use. Do you know that everything that you have came from God? Actually, the whole thing belongs to God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You're driving God's car right now. Everything you've got, you say, well, I earned it. Yeah, but who gave you the skills and the abilities? Who opened that door for that job? And don't you put God to the test, because he could pull it from you as fast as he gave it. Where did it all come from? It all came from God. And the fact that he only asked for one French fry, and you're choking on the one fry. So I'm just talking. Can we talk real talk? All right. Just because I know this is where I live. I've got that chintzy side of me. I got that tight side of me that says, I get my statement at the end of the year, of the year in giving. I think, wow, that I could have done some stuff with that. I mean, I'm human. But this is a part of our worship. This is a part of the way we show the Lord our love. Chuck Swindoll tells a story. It's a great one. A man and a woman went, they were going to have a picnic, so they stopped by KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. They pull into the drive-up, and they order their meal for their picnic. They wait a few minutes. Finally, the bag comes through the window. They put the bag on the front seat, and they drive off for their picnic. They spread out the blanket at the park. They open the bag, and what do they find in there? Not chicken, but cash, like $6,000 cash in this bag. And I say, what in the world has gone on? Well, the average person would say, woo, God has just blessed me. But they, you know, they were nicer than that. So they packed up their picnic and they drove back to KFC and they went to the manager. He was covered with sweat, freaking out. And here they walk in and they say, this was handed to us, but we know this wasn't our order. He says, oh my God, thank you so much. He said, let me tell you what happened. I cleaned out all the registers. I put it all in a bag. I set it on the counter. I turned around for 1 minute, and just then the worker thought that was your order, and they gave you the day's income. He said, this is incredible. Do you know how many people would have stolen that? They would never have come back. And yet you have come back. You are amazing people. You are honest people. You know what? He says, I have an idea. I want to take a picture of you. I want to put it on Facebook, Instagram. We're going to get this out. I'm going to call the paper. This is a story that everybody needs to hear. Can I take your picture? He says, no. The man and the woman, no. We don't want you to take our picture. We're going to go now. He says, no, please don't go. Please don't go. You're honest people. You're great people. I want to take your picture. We're going to put this out. No, we really don't. And finally, this went on back and forth like this until finally the man pulled the manager aside. He says, listen, bud, this lady is not my wife. So I really don't want my picture. He was honest on the one thing, but not so honest on the other thing. And how like us is that? Because there are things we take such pride in. No, I would never do that. I would never do that. But yet we're doing a little something a little over here. And this is where God says, hey, I'm calling you out. You're robbing me. You're singing, you're doing all your stuff, but you're taking. That's not what I'm looking for. He says, now you bring me that, you do it right, and I will open the windows of heaven. I don't want your song. I don't want your church attendance. I want your heart. I want your French fry. And again, God doesn't need the fry, but he's after the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So follow the money. And if the money is tight, the heart is tight. And if the money is flowing, then we are who God has called us to be. All right, I'm running out of time. But I got to give you three reasons why I suggest that you become a scriptural tither. Three promises that God will keep to a tither. Number one, you will live under an open heaven. I could talk about this for an hour. This is not just financial blessings. Think about heaven being closed or open over your life. You ever had that feeling when you're praying, like my prayers aren't getting through? The heavens are brass. The Bible actually describes that the heavens can be brass over your heads. Your prayer goes up and it hits and it bounces right back. But when you live under an open heaven, God says, your prayers are going to reach me and my blessings are going to reach you. In other words, there's no block. You're going to live under an open heaven. What an advantage. What an advantage in your life. That's a promise to a tither. Second promise to a tither is you will receive outpourings of blessings. Outpourings of blessings. God will make sure that we have more than enough if we do our part. He said there will be such increase that there won't be room to contain it. Kathy and I know this after 42, 43 years of proving this in our own lives. We're scriptural tithers. We don't give 3%. We don't give 2%. We don't give up. We measure it. It's the amount, baby. And we're careful to make sure that we get that in. Because we know the value of an open heaven, and we know the outpourings of blessings that will come on our lives. Fruitfulness and blessing and favor in the marketplace and advantages like you can't. Outpourings of blessings. And third, God will rebuke the devourer. Now, I don't have time to explain all about the devourer, but just the sound of it, how many understand that's not a good thing, devourer, that we don't want the devourer? Would we all agree to that? So we want him rebuked, but God is not under an obligation. God is not under an obligation to rebuke the devourer if we're robbing God. Say, Lord, I don't want to give you my French fry, but I really do want you to make sure I've got enough and make sure that all my bases are covered and make sure I get the sale and make sure I get the raise. But I don't want to give you a fry, Lord. I don't know if God's really obligated to go to bat for us in those circumstances. Every promise has a premise. So whether it's open heaven, whether it's blessings you cannot contain, whether it's the rebuking of the devourer, I think becoming a scriptural tither, starting from the heart, honoring God, bringing our tithes to the house of God. You say, well, I've robbed God. Can I be forgiven? Absolutely. Just honor the Lord and love him and let his grace and his forgiveness touch you. Does this work? Let me close with this. Is there evidence? Is there a study that shows that tithing works? This is not just, you know, Christian juju, right? According to a new report that takes a careful look at the financial, spiritual, and giving practices of people who tithe, the finances of Christians who tithe are healthier than the finances of those who do not. Researchers compared tithers to non-tithers using 9 financial health indicators. They found that the tithers, this was in the Christian Post on May 15th, 2013. They found that the tithers were better off in every one of the 9 categories. Among tithers, for example, 80% have no unpaid credit card bills. 74% don't owe anything on their cars. 48% own their home. And 28% are debt-free. The data upholds exactly what God promises. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Doesn't mean you're never going to have a reversal. Doesn't mean you're never going to have... In this life, there will be painful things. Bad things happen even to good people. that are doing the right thing. But I'll tell you, I would not want to face life without the blessing of God and without an open heaven. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that God will bring you into a brand new season of a generous heart, of wise stewardship, wise financial management, and that you'll have that kind of a heart that says, Lord, you want my fry? Here, take two. Everything I have is yours. Amen. If we have that kind of a heart, I tell you, we're going to have more than enough. Bow your heads, Father. Thank you, Father. I thank you for this time together around your word. Lord, your word is true. Scripture is true. We trust it. It's a light to our path. And I'm praying, Lord, right now, because your word always reveals areas that need to change, things that we need to fix. And it reveals our heart. It reveals attitudes. And I know that I've been chintzy many times, Lord. I've failed to have a generous heart at times. And I'm asking, Lord, that you would just move in every one of our lives. Lord, let our hearts be right before you. And then let our lives, Lord, reflect that obedience, that commitment to you, that we don't just pick and choose where we're going to serve you, but we're going to serve you consistently in every way. In every way, Lord. I ask that the blessings of heaven would rest on your people. I ask you to open the windows of heaven. I ask you to rebuke the devourer from our lives, from our family lives, from our business lives, from our physical lives, in every way, Lord. Rebuke any devouring, any robbing, stealing, or killing, Lord, that's going on from the enemy because we've opened the door to him. Take that away from him, Lord, and put us in a place of covenant blessing. I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for how you've called us to move forward, and I'm asking you to empower us as never before to live together under an open heaven. You're worthy, Lord. And as we come to this Thanksgiving season, we're so grateful for all that you have done, for all that you will do. We honor you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed for another moment. Here in this room, I'm sure, maybe online, maybe in the cafe somewhere, there's somebody that's just wrestling with that shame that I talked about earlier. Guilt. Addiction. You're messing up. You know that you've fallen short. You know that you've been in sin. And it bothers you. It bothers you. And you need forgiveness. You need God's grace. The good news is his grace is more than enough for you. He loves you. He's not ashamed of you. He cares and he'll help you. He'll wash away all your sins. He'll give you a victorious, healthy, flourishing life. If you're here, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and you feel just so far away from God, you want to reconnect with God. You want to know him personally and have all that sin, all that junk washed away. You want to receive Jesus. You want to invite Christ in as your Lord and Savior. Wherever you are, just lift your hand if you can. Show me your hand. I see you, sir. Yeah, I see you, lady. It's wonderful. Just put it up. Don't be ashamed. Nobody's looking around. Thank you. Over here on the right, I see you. Is there a fifth person? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I need freedom today. I need a release today from shame. Yeah, I see you. Over on my right. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Put your hands down. Holy Spirit, your power is awesome. You sprinkle our conscience, our guilty conscience, sprinkle it with the precious blood of Jesus right now. Set us free from every regret, all of our shame. We give it to you, Lord. All of our failure, we cast our need and our care on you. We thank you for your wonderful grace. Jesus, we invite you into our heart. Thank you that you will never leave us and never forsake us, even when we fail. Let today be a day of new beginnings for every person, and I praise you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Five people just raised their hands to open their heart to Jesus. How many think that's wonderful? That's wonderful. It was four in the first service. It's a constant rhythm. You just preach God's word and people know it to be true. They know it to be true. They'll receive Jesus. It's a great season, a great year. The ushers are going to serve now as the worship team leads us in the final song. I'll be back. Pastor John and I, we're going to speak a blessing over your beyond offering cards. We're going to bless you. The prayer team's going to come. We'll wrap this up here in just about 2-3 minutes. Let's worship together. Ushers, thank you for serving. Like Jesus. Come on, that's true. There's no one like Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Well, we're going to pray over these cards. Pastor John, is there something going on today with Gateway Healing Center?
Oh, yes. First, I want to say last month, the Gateway Healing Center was in Santa Rosa, and they were just blessed. And then, of course, we're going to be next month in Clovis, and so
Clovis campus of Gateway,
Clovis campus, and they're wanting to do it this month. We said no, we have to be in San Jose. So today will be the last opportunity to come to the Gateway Healing Center in the year 2018. So come through this afternoon before 3 o'clock. Come through that door, and why would you be coming? You come because God wants to heal you. Okay, physical miracle. You need physical healing, come. Bring somebody with you. You need to get your heart healed, memories healed. You need demonic oppression off you, you come.
Yes.
You need to hear a prophetic word inspired by God, you come.
Yeah.
And we'll be here for you. And God, it's God always ministers.
Beautiful. We have healing teams, prophetic teams,
personal ministry,
freedom teams. Awesome. Yeah. There's nothing like it. I don't know of anything else going on like that today in San Jose. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Appreciate your leadership on that and making that available.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's pray on this here.
Okay.
Let's bless the people.
Hallelujah. Father God, first we lift up all these cards and the families and people that are represented here and the ministry, Lord, the investment into your kingdom. And Lord, and for all those who've received the message today, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, and we declare the blessing of an open heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Over your people, we declare, Lord, your blessings, your supernatural, your physical, your financial blessings. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer for us. And Lord, we're so grateful. And Lord, we want to bubble up and declare your goodness wherever we go. In Jesus' great name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. We love y'all. All right. You're dismissed with a blessing. If you want to check in with one of our prayer team leaders here, we're here for you. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.